Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Hi, Shireen.
Hi, this is Ethnically Ambiguous. You already know I'm Shireen, and that was Anna. And today, we are joined by a fabulous guest. The wonderful Sydney Battle is here today. We talk about her upbringing, what's it like being ethnically ambiguous as a Black woman, and we also talk about our families. And yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Okie dokie. The start of the show is now with Okie dokie.
Okie dokie. The show has started.
The show has started. Hi, I'm Shireen.
Hi, Shireen. Anna on this one. I can't remember I'm Anna and what I'm Anna
you
on.
You did introduce yourself to the guest just now as Anna, so
did
I got a little confused, but I'll stick with Anna.
Look, who cares?
I'm trying to train myself.
Everyone's always like, is it Anna or is it Anna? Is it Anna or Anna? Right. And I'm like, I don't know. Who cares?
At this point, we're all just tired. I edit the Queerty podcast, and Queerty did an interview with Gabe, the host, to promote it. And in the interview, it was an audio interview, and Gabe mentioned me by name. And I think the guy that was recording must have just put it through a transcription service, because my name in the interview is Sharon Larnett. It doesn't even look like my name. It has no resemblance. There's an A, there's an I. I didn't even know that was about me. I was like, who's this? Who's Sharon Larnett? And I was like, oh, they're talking about Shireen Lani Yunus. And I was like,
Shireen Larnett.
I took a screen grab. I couldn't believe it. I'll put it in the chat.
I can't imagine what Hosnia would come up as.
Right? I mean, I'm assuming that's what the deal was. I just have no idea why else my name would look like that, because the producer's name, Andrew McGuire, looked fine.
And then there's Andrew McGuire. That's the whitest name.
I mean, that's
Sharon Larnett. Wow.
Oh yeah, Larnett. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sharon Larnett. They didn't even listen.
They didn't even Google. They could just Google who it is. I don't know.
Sharon is really good at making that happen. Yeah, Sharon does her job, but Sharon does not exist.
Yeah, exactly. But that was a funny thing that happened to me this week.
I want to say one funny thing that happened to me. Maybe it was this week and maybe it was last week. But the guest asked us if we play games on this podcast. And I will say that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I was like, games? That's true. They do play games on podcasts. Oh. And I was like, how funny would it be if Ethnically Ambiguous played games?
We should do that.
No.
An ending.
There is
like
no
little
game.
Like,
what game is there to play for us?
Okay, I'll brainstorm, but...
Oh, God. Maybe I should have brought this up. I don't want to play games on the show. I was like, that's so funny, because I was like, games?
What if I find a fun one?
There is no fun games. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fair.
Podcast games. It's always every game, they're like, we're going to play a quick little game where I just ask you a bunch of questions and you have to answer quickly. And it's like, that's not a game. You're just like...
Right, right.
It's just a fast interview.
That's fair. I mean... The fact that she asked, and I'll bring it up when we talk
Good for
to her.
Good for her. I should start asking that. I'll be like, there's no games, right? I really can't with games right now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to brainstorm. Maybe I'll come up with something. But I was going to segue really well into saying our guest's name, because oftentimes, if you are new here, I struggle a lot with saying things right. I can't explain it. I have a speech impediment and also ESL, second language English, but I also am just dumb. So the combination of all those three things makes me mispronounce everything. But this guest's name, there's no way I can get it wrong.
Oh, God.
So, and if I do get it wrong, I want her to tell me. Please welcome Sydney Battle into the show. Welcome.
You absolutely butchered it.
Wait,
I'm kidding.
Really?
I'm kidding. No.
Batale.
It is.
When I said it, immediately I was like, is it Batal? I don't know.
No, it is Sydney Battle. It is very difficult to mispronounce, and yet and still throughout my life, people have mispronounced it, which is insane.
To what?
They'll change, you know, it's just innocuous shit, you know. Sydney changes to Cindy.
Oh.
Yeah. Or some people do think it's like Battelle or Battle. And I'm like, that is the stupidest option. Or they'll switch they'll assume my gender a lot. So they'll say Mr. Sydney Battle.
I see.
Yeah. And so I'm like, if I'm struggling with that, with such, like, an anglicized name, then I can only imagine what it's like for my friends that do not have anglicized names.
That's interesting. Yeah. Do I think like Sydney Poitier, where they're like, clearly, you're of that sort of Sydney. You're a man.
Yeah, because it used to be male Sydneys more so had like the I in their name.
Oh.
But I even have the Y and people still
think
I'm
a
guy sometimes.
Me either.
You could potentially be a man.
Yeah.
Who knows? There are so many ways to spell Sydney now. I was a babysitter in Brooklyn, and I remember walking through the school hallway, and I saw a little girl's art project, and Sydney was spelled S-I-D-O-N-I-E.
And S-I-D... No, that's not right.
Wait, what? I can't even, like, I can't see it, no.
Sidoni. There's an O in there.
Yep, there's an O right in the middle.
Sidoni.
That's actually kind of a pretty name, Sidoni.
but if it's meant to be Sydney, then that's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean,
I never met lovely little Sidoni, so I can't
speak
to
fair.
That.
Fair, fair.
Sidoni.
I mean, I do like that name if it's meant to be said that way, but
it's pretty.
Yeah, I've never heard it before. I like a unique name, you know.
I'm gonna write that down. Maybe my children will all be named Sidoni. All of them, every single one.
Yeah. It's like, how did you come up with my name?
She just threw a Y on Sedona. You're Sidoni? Because, like, I'm really into, what are those things called? The
rocks?
The aura. Wait, what are they called? Those, like, the energy.
Vortex. The energy vortexes.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Sedona where they're like, you have to look out for the energy vortexes?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't have to do shit.
I went on a family vacation once, and they were big on, they were like, the water's different here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I went on a family vacation too. Did you guys do the Jeep excursion where you go on a Jeep and they like take you down the like red rocks or whatever that term is over there?
I can't remember, but it sounds riveting.
It was very fun. It was very fun.
Yeah. Is that all there is to do there? That's not true. I went and I enjoyed myself.
I mean, I wish.
Oh,
there's a spa. I mean, I wish I can go now with like people my age, like girlfriends or boyfriends or whoever the gender of my friends are, and do like hiking and stuff and just kind of like relax. I think when you're on like a limited time with your family, my parents in particular are very just like high maintenance. They have like those things they want to do, but I kind of just want to go and be more rugged.
I did that. I would recommend going with really low maintenance friends, because the friends I wanted to were trying to like thirst trap on rocks, and I was like, dude, like I don't want to stand here in the sun while you like take 30 thirst traps on like red rocks. Like, can we move it along? Like, it was, I'm like sweating like, oh God, dude. And they're like, hold on, one more. And they're like humping a rock. And I'm like, dude, it's not that cute. Like, I'm glad you're like getting all your pics in now that you can like post all year. But like, this is too much.
And their captions are something like, so hard or something.
God, I actually hope those friends
Everyone
don't
needs a friend
this.
Like that, though. One that's like, this isn't cute enough for the amount of work you're doing.
Yes.
I need that person in my life. I also need the person who is just brutally honest with you.
Yeah.
He's like, turn your chin up or you're going to look hideous.
Yeah, you're going to hate this picture unless you do exactly what I say.
Yeah, extend your leg
or
you'll make me take 20 more.
Yeah, well, that friend is the same friend who does that. Well, she'll be like, arch your back. And you're like, oh my God, okay. But then
blessing
at the same time, needs 100 photos of herself. And I truly, if she's listening to this, I'm so sorry, girl. I'm being a hater.
I think
Jesus
they are mutually
Christ.
Exclusive. I think they both exist inside of
that
person. I don't think you find someone who
That's
just
only
has
one or
of
the
those.
Other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we should go to Sedona together, because the pictures that I saw of you were so sick. Like the swirly things. Wasn't that Sedona?
What were the swirly things?
There was like a, there was like, no, 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 no.
Because I was like,
I did some stalking. No, I'm just kidding.
What was I doing?
There was like a photo with you. okay, not swirly things. I can't describe things, but though that very like the Glossier ripoff like thing that they have, the where you stand and there's like a mountain behind you, and there's like,
are you talking about when you go in between the rocks and you're sort of like in the crevasse?
And like Glossier and like did like a fabrication of it.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the Antelope Canyon, like the
Antelope
wave rocks?
Canyon.
Yes. Yes.
Is that not even in Sedona?
Yeah, no, Page. It's up like 4 hours north of Sedona.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, no, that's all over Red Rock Land. You just gotta find them. But yeah, no, it's so Instagrammable. But what's wild is you're down there with like 50 people, and so you just have to like find your moment where you're like, there's no one in the background.
Find a window.
Yeah. You know, you're just like trying to find the best shots. That's actually easier because the like guide is like being like, move it the fuck along. So you have to move quick. That's the ideal situation, because it's also very hard to like thirst trap because there's people just sitting there like watching you. It's like really embarrassing to have strangers watch you thirst trap.
Right, right.
So I recommend.
Okay, noted. Let's get into the meat of this podcast, okay? Sydney, hello. Tell us about yourself. Let's start in the beginning. Rewind. Where were you born and where were you raised?
I was born in Northern Virginia, and I was raised there as well. So pretty boring on that front.
Well, how was that like for you? What was your upbringing like over there?
It is a very... Northern Virginia as a whole is a really upper middle class enclave. It's the part of Virginia that doesn't think they're Southern. And so it's very much so the energy of like Eastern, East Coast elites kind of without being at the level of like, you know, Gossip Girl wealthy or anything like that. Like it's nowhere close to that. But most people's parents do work either in the private sector or for the government because it's a suburb of D.C. And so, the first and second like richest counties in the country are inside of Northern Virginia. Yeah, that's how insane this place is. And it's also very white. So it's like at my school, I think it was around 65% white and then maybe 30% Asian. And then what's left, like 5% Black and Hispanic and any outlier inside of that. So
other. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very white environment.
How did you like acclimate to that kind of environment?
It was a weird thing. I remember around when I was 10, my mom really started getting on me for the Ebonics I was using.
Oh,
she told me that, sorry, mom. She told me that I remember at soccer practice, she came to pick me up at soccer practice and I kicked the ball and I yelled, my bad. And she told me when I got in the car, she was like, you sound so ghetto.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh.
You were like, oh, that's what that is?
Yeah, and so... Watching a video, I saw a video of myself at like my 10th birthday party. And the way that I spoke in that video was so different from the way I spoke in a video of when I was 12, because at that point I had like removed all of the Ebonics from my normal vocabulary. And at that point I was just trying to talk like all my friends. And so I was like, oh my God, guys, no, totally. and pitching my voice higher.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. Which, obviously, as you can hear, it's just not natural.
Yeah,
so I tried my best, but I remember from a young age, I have a little sister, and I noted that adults were nicer to her because she was younger and she was cuter. And then also, from a younger age, my sister looked very ethnically ambiguous. And so
she got treated
differently.
You won the award.
The title of the podcast.
It's like the movie where you have to say the title in the movie. And like, there it is.
So was she, so they just like viewed her as just like, was she more light skinned? Is that like, it was just like blatant colorism happening in front of you as
a child?
It
was a little bit of colorism. She's not like super light skinned or anything. Okay. But, you know, when my sister was born, the nurse came into the room and asked my mom, is the father Asian? And she was like, no, her father's right here, like, next to me. And the nurse is like, okay, sure.
Your dad was like, what?
Yeah. He's like, excuse me? She has slightly different features than me. We don't really look alike. But yeah, even when we were little, I remember she was like 3 years old and I was six and we were getting Bitty Babies for the first time. You know, those American Girl dolls.
Oh, yeah.
And they bought her the Asian one and they bought me the Hispanic one because the doll that was black did not look like either of us. So I guess that was their solution in their head. They were like, they'll only want one that looks like them.
That's interesting. Does your sister look Asian? Is that like a theme her whole life where everyone's like, are you Asian?
People do think she's Blasian. No one is doubting that we're black. That's the thing. Like, we still very much so experienced, like, what it was like to be a black child in that environment. Me more so when I got older, and my sister from a very early age, it would be like, but what else?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's so intrusive and strange that people are just like, what are you? And then you tell them, they're like, no, but really.
Truly, before the pandemic, at least once a week, someone would point blank just ask me to my face, like, what are you?
Right.
Find some way of doing it. But yeah, in college, I would lie to people. And sometimes I still do. Like, because what are they going to say? No.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm like, oh, I'm three quarters, I'm black, and then a quarter Japanese. They're like, oh, cool, cool. Or if I'm like, oh, I'm half German, I'm half Kenyan. Like, oh, yeah, like, awesome.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I see it. I see it. You can tell them anything. You could be like, I'm actually a quarter Persian. Oh, my God. Yep, totally. Yeah. I see that.
Like, I did the same thing in college. I was so fed up with that same question that I'm sure all three of us have been asked our whole lives. And this one time I convinced this idiot that I was part Ethiopian, which doesn't make any sense, but I guess he had never heard of Ethiopia. And then like, I just don't understand how I pulled that one off.
Yeah. But he has no knowledge ready of what a person who looks like. And also they're already putting themselves in such a shitty place of asking this stupid question that they know is stupid after it leaves their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could tell them anything and they don't really feel.
I don't think they know it's stupid, to be honest.
I would say half and half. You don't think?
Yeah. I think the self-awareness is kind of lacking because usually the people that ask that are white and I think they just like feel, I don't know. It's that same weird audacity to ask like someone's gender expression, or like Oprah did it in an interview before, being like, have you had surgery? It's like the same thing where it's like, I'm asking this question so I can understand, but I think sometimes they know it's like a ridiculous question, but I think oftentimes they ask it because they see nothing wrong with
asking.
Okay,
I will agree with white people, that is definitely, well, no, I'd say like half and half for me at least. Maybe not half, 75% don't think that they're wrong. 25% know it's wrong, but they asked anyways. When black people ask me that question, because they ask it almost at the same rate that white people do, but the difference is black folks, like, do not care. They're like, we're both black. I can ask you this. I can ask you this very personal question. It's like when, just because you're from the same culture as someone, they're like, I can say this to you. And you're like, that's still like a really messed up thing to say to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get offended if a Persian person or an Armenian person thinks I am Armenian or Persian, because it's like, I understand. I get it. Like, and I thought you were me too. Like, it's like they're all so similar. But
so when they're asking you that question, though, they're more so being like, are you a part of my community?
Yeah.
Whereas with me, it's like, what's added to you?
Right.
What's
right.
other in you? Because of this glorification of European features, usually exoticism inside of black people. Oh, you know?
People love I can't even say the word exoticism. They love that. Yeah. I also like. Everyone thinks I'm of like Latin descent, and I don't even correct people sometimes. I'm like, like if someone speaks Spanish to me, I literally will nod along and potentially respond because I'm like, I don't really want to get into a conversation about what I am half the time anyway.
Because
I'm like, Iran, have you heard of Iran? You're about to call it Iran and I'm going to ignore it. And we're going to just continue on with you being like, there's like a weird thing. Like people feel sorry for you. They're like,
with Iran specifically.
Yeah. Iran, Syria, like, a cop look on their face.
I got pulled over driving, speeding. I was speeding to Northern California to catch a flight to Iran with my dad because my parents live in the Bay. So my dad, because he's my dad and doesn't listen to anything I say, bought a ticket for me out of SF. So I'm like, okay, sure. Be there soon. So I like was, I left at like 6 a.m. to make this flight. I'm speeding. I get pulled over. The cop's like, why are you speeding? I'm like, I got to make a flight in SF. And he's like, where are you going? And I'm like, Iran. And he said, ooh, I wish you wouldn't. And I was like, oh, you motherfucker. And, you know, it was like Central California. So it's like, you're like the whitest guy with his fucking handlebar or whatever the fuck. And I was just like, oh, fuck you. And then he's like, your address isn't right on your license. And I'm like, it's LA. You have to move a lot. So I was just like so pissed off. And I kept speeding, honestly. I was like, fuck you. I'll go 90 on the 5. There's no one here.
Yeah.
But I was like, fuck you. What do you mean? I wish you wouldn't. Well, I wish you weren't
so
white.
Blatant.
How about that?
That's just straight up racism.
Yeah, no, it was like, I was like, okay. Well,
yeah,
I
how
still
are you supposed
go.
To respond to that?
I think I literally was like,
Yeah, I think a lot of Middle Eastern people have to deal with that. Like, I mean, for me, it's like Syria. There's like a look of pity on their face. I think a lot of, like, I don't know. It's just kind of infuriating because if it's not pity, then they ask you ridiculous questions like, what do you think of ISIS or something like that?
Oh, my God.
Which
and
happens
you know
to
what?
Me
you heard it
like
here first.
90% of the time.
We love ISIS, okay?
God.
But anyways.
You know, they're doing real work over there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, what are you going to say?
What am I going to say? Like,
it's not ideal. Just,
like, two times I did say, like, I'm actually in ISIS. Let's just see what would happen. And one of them was like a coworker that didn't know me so well and didn't understand
get
my humor.
Reported to HR.
And their eyes got so wide. And I was like, that's not just chill. Like, I'm kidding. You asked ridiculous questions. And it was so weird.
It's amazing how fast they go on the defensive.
Yeah.
Just really, I remember people try to tiptoe around that question because they know they're not supposed to ask it. So they'll go, so where are you from? And then you say, oh, Northern Virginia. Oh, cool. Where are your parents from?
Right.
And I'm like, they're from Detroit. Okay, but where are their families from? New Orleans and right. Mississippi.
That's
and
so
then finally just like either they sit in their disappointment or they go, but culturally.
Yeah, exactly. Like what country or like whatever. It's so interesting that you have that same experience as so many of us have. I just thought you were black to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have any inclination to be like, what are you? I don't know. Like, it's
no, because, yeah, that is the, like, at the end of the day, like, I am not going to be profiled really as anything other than black. But inside of that, so there's, and we talked about it a little bit, colorism, and then on top of that, exoticism. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that I'm light enough to, I definitely benefit a little from colorism, but not to the full extent that someone very light-skinned would benefit. I benefit more so, I think, from ethnic ambiguity because mm-hmm. people do wonder, is she biracial, especially when it's like the wintertime and I don't have a tan, you know, like, is she biracial? What is she mixed with? And so that's why I'm getting that question because I'm confusing to people. I literally had a guy walk up to me once and he asked me, is one of your parents white? And I said, no. And then he said, your face doesn't make sense because a lot of your features are Caucasian, but you are not. And I was like,
what?
All right. I don't know. Like,
that's
I don't have
so
a satisfaction.
Weird.
It's weird. And then also, I don't know what answer would make them happy or placate them. Like, both of my parents, I like to say that I come from two long lines of tragic mulattoes. Which is like my dad's parents were both biracial. We believe my grandfather was literally left on a doorstep. And then my grandmother got kicked out of the house because my grandpa got her pregnant when she was 14.
Wow.
But from what she remembers, her father was Irish and her mother was indigenous Blackfoot and black. And so she had like very long straight hair, was very light skinned. And then my grandfather was light enough to pass and like did occasionally pass as a white man, would make my dad, at least on one or two occasions, go hide in the bushes so that he could flag down a car to hitchhike. And then the driver would be like, why is this little black boy like with this white man? But my dad got the recessive genes and so was darker than both of his parents and his siblings. And then my mom's side is Creole, which means that they are Black, Indigenous, through my grandmother, Biloxi Sioux, through my grandfather, we're not as sure, and French. And then there could be other stuff in there. We literally don't know because mm-hmm. a lot of Black people have no way of knowing. Like,
right.
my grandmother didn't even have a birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather was left on a doorstep. So you think I can tell you what country my family's from?
Yeah.
It's
a ridiculous assumption. I also don't mean to, I didn't mean to assume that, like, oh, you're just Black. I regretted saying that when I said it out loud. I just mean, like, I would never think to ask someone, even if I didn't know what they were, I would never mm-hmm. think to be like, what are you? And
well, you are a
until you tell me, you know?
Like, right, because that is how it should be. And you, I just met you, but you seem to have a good amount of empathy and you seem to be kind. And so I didn't take you saying that as negating okay, any part of my identity, because you know that it doesn't change anything to have you know that. And if you actually got to know me, I probably would share that with you.
Yeah, the more I got to know your family, the more you become, it's like any kind of relationship that grows, people get to know you better. And it's not like the first thing you offer up someone kind of thing.
No, I need to know where you're from in order to categorize you in my mind and how to treat you, okay?
People love boxes. They love to put people in boxes. And when someone doesn't fit, it just combusts a part of their brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best part. My mom is an Iranian woman, but is white, like white looking. Like the amount of people who are always taken kind of aback when her, you know, she starts speaking and has an accent is really funny. It's almost like funny to observe. They're like, oh, because she is so white. Like I can't, my mom has light brown hair, is paler. It's just her features. You wouldn't know she's a Persian woman until you start speaking to her. But it kills me because you can see it the second she responds to someone that they're like, what is
something
that?
Something doesn't fit here. Yeah.
Like Eastern European or something? They're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, Greek.
They all think she's like Romanian. She's like, what?
Right.
Dude, I'm just, you know, it's possible to have like, to look different even though you're from the Middle East. Like there's redheads from the Middle East. Like it's a thing. Yeah.
I have cousins who are all redheaded and cousins that are blonde, blue-eyed. My dad has blue eyes. When people learn that my dad has blue eyes, like in a photo or if they meet him, they're like, what? Like, not all the time, but they can't comprehend. Or like
they
my
lose
cousins
their minds.
With red hair.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense to them. Like, they're pale with red hair. Like,
I feel lucky that I worked in a Turkish restaurant through high school and we have like Turkish nights. And so I truly saw like, it was my first introduction to how different mm-hmm. people from that section of, like, I guess Eurasia can look because, like, there would be Tarkan who, like, had blue eyes and was very pale and just looked like a normal white guy. And then he'd start talking and people would also have that little shift.
Yeah.
And then there were other guys who would come in who, like, looked very Middle Eastern in an like, but people can't fit them into mm-hmm. a box in their head still because they're like, wait, the Turkish people I know are white.
Yeah.
So what can this guy be?
Right.
Yeah.
It's all, and also nothing of like, that, none of that should matter. Like borders are made up, countries are made up. Like, why do you need to know exactly what section of the planet someone is from with this made up name? Like it boggles my mind.
People are nosy.
Yeah, they're nosy as fuck and they're intrusive and it's usually white people. Sorry to say, but
I will say I do it with other Middle Easterners. I'll be like, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that's what I mean from earlier. Like I don't get offended if it's
that's
someone
just more
because like,
I want to know. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you speak Farsi? Let's talk some shit.
Yeah. Like if I'm, I was at Sephora the other day and a Persian lady
in
was helping
a pandemic.
Me.
I'm just
joking.
I was literally at Sephora the other day too. Go ahead.
I was giving a gift for my mom. But regardless, the lady that was helping me looked at me and she was like, in Persian, she told me like, "Do you speak Farsi?" And
which
I said,
Sephora
no,
was this? Because I think I know who you're talking about.
In America, what's it called? The Galleria. The one that's outside.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
She's
I know
so
all
nice.
The Persian people that work at all the Sephoras. Isn't that weird? But I know because I go in, they spot me, I spot them. I'm like, tell me what's good, girl.
Yeah.
And then then you have like.
But what's interesting about this conversation was that she asked me if I spoke Persian or if I was like from Iran or I forget because it was in Farsi. I couldn't understand her, but I knew it was Farsi. And I said, no, I'm Arab. And then she starts speaking to me in Arabic. And I was like, oh, both work. I don't know. And so we talked in Arabic for the whole time. But yeah, I thought that was really cute. But yeah, again, like, I don't think either of us get offended if it's like someone that looks like us, because they're just trying to figure out, like, are you, yeah, like what you said, are you from our culture versus like, how are you different from our culture?
Yeah. And I don't get like offended per se when Black people ask me that. But I will say, like, what bristles me sometimes is the comments that come after, as if to imply that, like, Black men will do it a lot. What are you? Or the more direct question, what are you mixed with?
Mm.
And they'll be like, you're so beautiful. Like, what are you mixed with? Like, it will be paired together. This sort of implication is like, you can't just be a Black woman. You're so beautiful. Yeah, it's disgusting in a word.
Yeah. And it's disgusting, but it's also kind of sad. Like, it's really sad that's how they think, because it's heartbreaking to really.
It's like, anti-Black, yeah, and it's clearly deeply ingrained inside of their head. So those are the times when I'm like, okay, I can't do this with you.
Yeah.
The creep factor is the worst.
The creep factor?
Mm-hmm. It's like when it's like it turns into something creepy real quick and you're like, okay, back up, sir.
Yeah. Let's take our first commercial break. We're a little late on this, but better late than never. We'll be right back. And we're back. Sydney, please change the subject.
Well, I had talked a little earlier about how my sister was sort of seen as other at a younger age, but I came into that later in life. I was raised in such a weird family that my cousins on my mom's side convinced me that I was like the darkest child in the world. Whoa. They called me milk chocolate. They said that my skin was really dark compared to theirs. And so as a kid, I thought that I was like very, very dark. And I was like, there's no ambiguity here. Like, no one's mistaking anything. And I didn't realize until I was really like, I guess almost in college, that was just colorism and also deeply fucked up. And so it made me really happy when I was home a couple Christmases ago, where I was in Michigan with my family, and one of my younger cousins, we were lining up for a cousin picture, and he was like, I'm the darkest. Yes. Aww. And I was like, the kids are all right.
Yeah, that's good.
The kids are all right. They're doing okay. But in my mom's family, I feel bad because the same thing happened to her. Yeah. But you have to understand, like, my mom could look like just like a very tan Italian woman. Mm-hmm. Like, and her siblings were so light-skinned, and on top of being light-skinned, ethnically ambiguous, yes, that she was seen as like the dark one.
Yeah.
And it's just wild.
You can believe it looking at me. I was the dark one when I was growing up. I was like in the sun more. I was tan. Both my sisters are paler than me, so I was the tan one. And growing up, it was terrible because you're treated differently by your entire family. The word tan is almost like condescending in Arabic. So when you're called the tan one, it's almost like you're the ugly one.
My friend Yusur, like, she tells me, she's Egyptian, and she will tell me about her family. And she's like, yeah, in the Arab community, it's like a huge thing.
Yeah.
I'm very dark. And I'm like,
it's a huge thing.
That's wild. And it's
I was
just
terrified
because,
of the sun. I was so scared of, like, I hated getting tan. I was like, it was a fear of mine when I was like, even well into high school, I did not want to get tan because I was like, I'm already dark. I can't get darker.
I feel you. I used to be afraid to get darker too. And it's like, I should have
really
realized
depressing.
At the time, like, I'm still Black.
Versus like white girls are getting fake tans, right? And over here, like, we're just denying our color because it's so fucked up.
Even in the past few years, I found myself when it would be like audition season. And this was when I was at a very different point of my career, too. I was like, I can't be in the sun too long. Like, I'd have to tell my friends, like, I can't be in the sun too long because then if I'm in the sun, I lose the opportunity to audition for roles that are, like, specifically calling for biracial people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is so fucked.
Yeah. It's really fucked. Yeah.
I've said that word a lot on this. Are we allowed to curse?
What if we were it this whole time and that was, we just found out our editor has to bleep it all? Yeah.
How could we not curse at this point?
No. Mm.
Everything sucks.
But yeah, it's really depressing the more I think about how fucked a lot like our childhoods were, just with colorism, but also like in culture colorism. Like it's like you thought it was like, oh, Americans are fucked up, but it's like, no, colorism is everywhere, you know? Like it's depressing. It's really depressing.
All over the world.
Like, for example, my older sister, who's lighter than me and has lighter hair, she was like the most gorgeous thing in the world. Also, her eyes are kind of lighter. But if you have blonde hair and blue eyes, you were like a goddess in Syria or the Middle East in general. So
yeah. I know they really do treat them like she's gorgeous. And you're like, okay, she's a bitch, but okay, go ahead.
One of the selling points for my aunt marrying her husband was that he has blue eyes. Like, literally. She's like, I want my children to have blue eyes. Ugh. None of them did. But, like, that was one of the selling points.
That's
and
the
I'm sure
screw
that was
you.
A selling point for my dad, too. I'll be honest. I'm sure my mom thought about that when she married my dad, you know? Like, joke's on her. But, you know, I know she thought about it.
I studied abroad in France. And when I was there, it was really interesting to see the people there who looked like me, like French citizens who looked like me, but there wasn't really anyone who did. The people who looked like me were all below the age of like 5. Because in France, a lot of the Black community there are either first generation or second generation, like coming from Francophone countries or other African countries. And so, and because like we're in America and I'm not first generation, my blood has been mixed with a ton of stuff for many generations, right? And so a lot of Black people here are not 100% Black. So it was very odd to go to France. And they would kind of stare at me sometimes because there were just not many people my age who looked like me. And they would say, Sydney, you are like Barack Obama because you're half white and half Black. And I said, no, that's not really my situation at all. Okay, you're different then? You're not like Barack Obama? Like, that is the question they really like to ask me, which is even funnier because in France, you can't even ask for race on a job application.
Right.
But they were bold.
Really? I didn't know that about France because they're so xenophobic.
They're very hypocritical. They're very xenophobic. So, you know, it's okay for nuns to wear their habits, but God forbid someone wears a hijab.
Exactly. Yeah.
And and so that's they think that they've solved racism there.
I know.
When you talk to them about it, and to be fair, like when I went there, I would walk into a store and no one would follow me around a store. Like, they weren't suspicious of me because I was Black. But I did get there the day before Charlie Hebdo. And so then the country went into lockdown and got extremely Islamophobic.
Yeah.
And then also the way that Romani people are treated there, it was wild to watch someone experience like a higher level of discrimination than me right in front of my eyes, right? Because when I'm in America, I see obviously like racism and discrimination against other races, but usually like Black people are suffering pretty hard. But in France, I was like, oh my God.
That's a really strange experience.
Yeah, it was trippy.
Yeah. It does feel like every country finds their people and they're like, you are less than. Exactly. Like it's like with Kurds in the Middle East, it's like they're people.
Yeah.
Like, leave them alone.
Can we all calm down?
Yeah.
It's really disheartening. Let's pivot. Okay. I'm going to pivot. Skirt. Okay. I want to ask. Okay. That was me turning the wheel. I did the skirt. I did a hand motion.
You're like,
I was
what are they? The Migos when they're like ad-libbing? That was like you're skirt.
Oh,
skirt.
Oops. That was not what I meant. But I want to ask about what you do, your work and stuff. When you were a teenager, when you were going into college, did you know you wanted to be a performer?
Yeah, I did know that I wanted to be an actor specifically. And my goal when I was a really little kid was that I would write a book that would get turned into a movie that I could be in.
Yeah.
And so I have all of these like half-written books around my childhood bedroom because I was determined. And when I wouldn't finish the book by like my 12th birthday, I was like, okay, well, I'll make the main character 14 now because that gives me some time to sell the book and then for the movie to get in the works. So I did want to write and act. And then after I graduated, I tried out for MFAs, didn't get in. And then to make myself feel happy again after that rejection, I started taking classes at UCB because I did improv in college, right, like every cool person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then luckily rose pretty fast at UCB and realized that I wanted to, I guess, add comedy in there. So acting, comedy, writing.
What did you study in college?
I studied, so I did have a double major, government and theater, and then a minor in French, but the teachers in the theater department didn't like me, and so I didn't get, like, cast in anything.
That's such bullshit.
What is that? Why is that? Like, every person who's, like, a great, like, performer now, they're like, I could never get cast. It's like, who the fuck were getting cast? Like, yeah. What?
The people that were, like, the teacher's pet in where we went, UC Davis, don't have a career in acting now. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, the actors that kept getting the biggest roles in all the theater productions, they aren't acting. You know what I mean? Versus, like, my friend who never got cast in anything, he's in commercials. You know, it's just so weird. It's so weird.
Maybe you have to become jaded by that experience. Mm. I honestly think it's... I don't mean to bring everything back to this, but there are racial undertones to it, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then also, sometimes personalities just don't mesh. There's a lot of, you'll see like a lot of tweets about this, especially about Black children being punished more than other children in school.
Right.
And I've found that a lot of people project personality traits onto me because I am a very socially anxious, shy person. But how that's perceived is like me being aloof or a bitch or condescending. Mm-hmm. And so I've had teachers like literally scream at me for asking a question. I asked this one teacher, I was like, I don't understand this part of the game. Back to games. And she started screaming about how I was disrespecting her and calling the game stupid and all of this other stuff. It just all came out. She was like, since day one, I saw that you disrespected me. And I was like, No. And she was like, if you don't want to play the game, get the fuck out of my class. Why don't you just leave? And I was like, I want to play the game. Like, I want to be here. And all of the other students, of course, are just sitting there like deer in the headlights. But of course, nobody says anything.
Yeah. Right, of course.
Because no one's going to stand up for you in the moment. But later on,
they were like, oh, we felt so bad. You're like, oh, did you? Did you?
Why didn't you say anything?
Julie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Julie.
But stuff like that.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I've actually gotten that a lot often. I remember the guy I took my driving test with, I like just fucked up at one point and he thought I was being cocky. I was like, no, like I just fucked up. And I had bangs like this actually at the time. And I like pushed my bangs away because I was like getting sweaty. Like I was like, I'm sorry. Like I fucked up. And he's like, how dare you roll your eyes? I was like, no, I was pushing my bangs out of my hair. Like it was like people if they can't read you right away and they just think you're being a dick because you're just terrified because you don't fit in. And then you're like, you can't come back from it. Like you just start like spiraling. You're like, no, like I want my driver's license. Like why would I come in here and be a dick? Like
not this version of me that is burned into your head without just immediately supplicating or like, you know, just denigrating myself.
The same thing happens to me because especially growing up, I had like resting bitch face. I talk kind of monotone sometimes if I'm not excited. And like my delivery sometimes sounds like I'm being sarcastic. And I didn't mean it to sound that way. But all the time people thought I was either annoyed at them. I was like playing too cool. I wasn't like, you know what I mean? And
that happens to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing that you said is like, what kind of devastated me and still does now is that if someone has that image of you that's so burned into their brain, I must have, like, in my anxious self, I'm like, what did I do to make that happen? Maybe I did say something. Maybe I did something, like, I don't know. How did I make this person so convinced I am this way? And then it just makes me spiral.
Sometimes there's just, most of the time, you've done nothing. Mm-hmm. If a woman of color or a Black woman, an Indigenous woman, comes to me and tells me about this very specific phenomenon happening to them, I never think that it's just them being a shitty person. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, race probably played a big role in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Back to UCB. So are you doing UCB in LA at this point?
No, I moved to New York after college. I was
UCB
in
New York. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I was, because I went to college in Virginia, then moved up to New York, mm-hmm. which is always the plan. And got on before the pandemic started. I was on a house improv team and a sketch team. And then everything shut down. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Mm-hmm. And then I weirdly went viral in August during the pandemic. And truly, my life changed overnight.
Tell us about that experience, actually. Actually, before we do that, let's take our last break. We'll come back, talk about going viral and all that stuff. We'll be right back. We're back. I'm curious about your experience going viral.
Make this like inside the actor studio. Yeah. So you went viral. What was that like?
It was wild because I'd been feeling pretty frustrated. I didn't know what to do at that point because, you know, I'd been doing characters for a while. I'd been making like funny little videos. I'd been trying to get some traction anywhere and it just wasn't working. And so I was like, okay, I'll record this video and I'll upload it and maybe it will get me like 100 new followers. Or likes even, like 100 likes. And it was the Brooklyn Mom video where I just put on a blonde wig and acted like a lot of women that I'd encountered being a babysitter in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Truly overnight, I got an opportunity or a job offer to write for the Emmys.
Wow.
I was interviewing with reps so I could finally have representation. Yeah. And then I think 2 days later, this was planned. I moved to LA.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a wild
week. That's a whirlwind, yeah.
Yep, and started writing for the Emmys, I think, like 2 days later as well. And so,
that's awesome.
Fresh off the plane.
That character is spot on, if I must say. I don't know when I came across you, but I think it may have been around that time. It's hard to say. Sometimes you're following someone, you're like, this person is so funny. And then you followed me back and I was like, as I do when anytime someone I like follows me back.
That cannot be.
Are you kidding me?
I played
your impression of the French people who are accepting awards at the Oscars to like everyone I know. I'm like, have you heard this? This is the funniest thing. I play it over Zoom calls. I'm like, no, you have to hear this. Hold on a second. Because it's so funny to me. You just nail it. And now it makes sense that you actually lived in France. Because I was like, how the fuck did she nail this so hard? Because that's exactly what they were like. I was literally like, fast forward. Okay, don't know what's going on. Like that, you nailed it. And that's, you know what? I won't hold back. I love you. I love you and I would kiss you right now if I could. Hold on. Mwah. That annoys Shireen. Shireen hates mouth noises.
Look at her. I do.
Your face was like...
I feel you, Shireen, but I'm blushing. People got mad at me. They were accusing me of not. Oh, of course, it was only French men. French men are the most dramatic men on the planet. They feel everything so deeply, and they have to let you know.
Have you ever dated a French person?
When I was there, I had some fun with French dudes, but
I trust
your
take on them.
It's not that I don't like them. Like, they can be very fun and they can be great, but it's always stuff like, oh my God, my girlfriend is being so annoying. Like, she didn't even come to my party. And it's like, did you invite your girlfriend to the party? No. But you would make me feel better. Like, it's just, they're so maddening. Yeah. But, yeah, people were accusing me. They're like, she doesn't speak French. Like, how can a typical non-Francophone making fun of French accents? And I was like, I am a Francophone. I'm fluent in French. I can do this. Yeah. I put in my years. The shit I've had to listen to from ignorant French people, yeah, I'm allowed to do a French accent.
I agree. I mean, did I hear it wrong? But like back to the beginning when you were talking about what you knew about your heritage, did you say that a grandma was part French or European?
My mom's family is Creole, yes. Well, yeah, okay. My grandmother from that side, she's Creole as well, but also my great-grandfather, who is indigenous, was given up for adoption. So we don't know all of what he is, but we do know that part of it. But yeah, they are Creole. So my grandfather's first language was French because he grew up in New Orleans.
That counts.
Yeah, he stopped speaking it as he got older. But, you know, their name is Duplessis, which in France, they would tell me, they were like, that's a very important name.
Oh,
like,
really?
People with that name are, it's the equivalent of having, like, I guess, like Rockefeller, you know, or not, we're not talking Kennedy level, but, you know, like Vanderbilt, I guess. Right, like a lot of very wealthy people have had this name. Not that I'm connected to them.
So that's interesting to tell you a little bit about the history of back then, like how they were connected, if they were working for if they were enslaved.
But it could have been. Yeah, like, yeah. And I also don't know. Like, literally, when I look at, like, old family photos, my grandfather's cousins and brothers and sisters, sometimes I just think I'm looking at white people. Mm. And then they'll be like, no, no, they were Creole. And I'm like, okay, well, when did the mixing start?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And so I identify as Black, obviously, while acknowledging that there's other stuff mixed in there. But I don't have the lived experience of, you know, being an indigenous person in this country, of being a white person in this country. Yeah. And so I am a Black woman.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered taking a 23andMe or anything like that?
Do you know what's funny about that? My mom's siblings my mom for years has suggested that we get my grandfather and my grandmother one.
Yeah.
But her siblings are terrified to take it, I think, because they're worried they'll find out they're Blacker than they think.
What?
Wow.
That's burning bridges here? Quite possibly.
That's interesting.
I hope they don't get mad at me. My policy is always, if I wouldn't say it to your face, I won't say it. So I'd say it to their face. I think they're worried that they will be Blacker than they think.
That's so sad. I mean, I relate to not knowing anything about your family history because, like, Syria, the Middle East in particular, I mean, Syria in particular, but, like, the Middle East in general or, like, the Swana region, in my experience, they're very bad at keeping records like that. Like, I genuinely don't know anything past my immediate grandparents, and even that, I don't know exactly where they were born. And one of my grandfathers died before I was born, and we don't have answers about that. We don't even know how he really, like, the cause of death. So it's like, that's why I want to take 23andMe, because I was like, I want to know the specifics of what I am. Mm-hmm. But my dad was scared of taking it because he was convinced that the government was going to have his DNA and like use it for,
they might.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, sure, they might.
The thing is, like, they are definitely, well, if you use a third party company, like if someone's like, oh, I don't want to pay that much for 23andMe, let me do this off brand company, they are for sure selling your DNA to the government.
Yeah.
But yeah, I might do it for myself one day. But I just think it's really funny to watch my mom's siblings skirt around the idea of doing it.
That is strange. My mom, okay, so one, it's impossible to get a brown parent to tell you anything about their history. Mm-hmm. Like, I know my dad's parents died young. He's like, they were sick. Okay, what were they sick of?
You that's know, exactly like, tell me.
Old person, or like just sickness.
I honestly
and you're like,
think
it
that's
would be
better.
Great to know.
Because I learned recently how my grandfather's father died.
Yeah.
And it was, he got appendicitis at work one day. And by the time he could finally go to the hospital, it was too late. And so they just had to wait 2 days for him to die. He was eight years old, and he literally watched his father slowly die from appendicitis.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I told him, I was like, Papa, that's extremely traumatic. And he goes, yeah, maybe, probably. I was like, this explains so much about this man.
Yeah.
It's like, who knows? You just have to keep moving. Anyway, you're like,
so really hold on to the idea of they got sick.
But sometimes it'd be nice to know, it's like, okay, do we have a history of illness in our family we need to be paying attention to or something?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know. Sure.
That's something that I do like about 23andMe. Not that it's like sponsored by 23andMe by now. But like in 23andMe, you could have the option of doing a health background check or whatever it's called. Not a background check. But they tell you the possibilities of what health problems or hereditary things you have. So that was pretty interesting. And I also convinced my mom to do it several years ago, too. And so then there's more information because there's like we're connected and like her tree and my tree or whatever. So it's interesting.
I just remembered that my dad did ancestry DNA, but it was years and years ago. And one of the biggest problems with them is that for Black people and Indigenous people specifically, they do not have a lot of samples to compare you to. And so my dad found out that he was around like 20-something percent Irish, like around like 25% Irish. And then obviously there was – he was like around like 60% or 50% Black. And then there was 20% that was just gray. And they were like, we don't know, sorry. And then everything else broke down to, like, smaller sections. But just having a hunk of gray, I was like, we paid so much money for this.
The same thing happened to me.
I was about to ask,
There was, like, a chunk of that that just said other. And it, like, for a while when I first did it, it was, like, a really big chunk. And then as the years passed, I guess they got more samples. And so it would keep changing. And now it's a very small percent of other, like, you know, compared to what it was before, but because the more they get samples, the more apparently it helps everyone. But yeah, it is a little disheartening where you're like, I wanted to know. This is why I did this. I wanted to know the other, you know?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so still no answers.
Yeah.
I kind of regret mine because it was like 98% Persian. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I think that's so cool, though. Like, I really think it's very cool to have a culture that is... I don't know.
See, that's the thing. It goes to the illness thing. Because I'm like, okay, you guys are fucking cousins. I'm not an idiot. Like, I am aware of what's going on here. So I really need to know if we have a history of illness. Like, my parents are my parents luckily are from, like, two different regions. Are, like, completely just, they met in America. So I'm like, okay, we're good on that front. But I know my mom's parents were second cousins. My dad's parents, my dad literally, you could, as if my dad had never met his parents before. He's like, I don't know. Like, there's no way of learning anything about my dad's parents because he'd be like, your grandma had light brown hair. And you're like, thank you. Okay. Actually, as of recently, I have pinpointed where all our mental illness comes from. It's from my dad's family because I've been there and interacted with all my family. I've been like, okay, I see why I'm me. So there's like such a weird idea of like what mental illness is. They're just like, oh, they're just crazy. And you're like, no, he should see someone. But like I was finally like, my dad had this oldest sister. I think I've spoken about this on the podcast before, who they're like, she just died mysteriously. Like no one would ever explain to me how she died. And then my dad was like, wait, no, I think she killed herself. And I was like, oh my fucking God, that is such key information we need to have. Like, why would you just like, he's like, I guess that's how she didn't want to marry this guy they were forcing her to marry, so she killed herself. And I'm like, first of all, very dark. Second, was he a cousin? We need to like know these things. And my dad is just so like, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty wild, huh? And I'm like, no, dude, just like so think nonchalant about it for three more seconds and
they
give
play
me
so
some
fast
information.
And loose with information.
Yeah.
Like, truly.
Like, what the hell? So, okay, so clearly she was suffering. We're nailing it down that there were people who were suffering in this family. Let's really explore that because it could explain a lot about why your son is this way or why I'm this way or like why you're the way you are and like why we get it like. Our family gets into the funniest beefs on my dad's side. Like, I sometimes can't get an aunt to come see me because she's like, well, your other aunt looked at her.
Yeah.
You're like, that's
same
the beef?
Here.
She looked at her? Yeah. But the look was a little not as friendly as
there's
she would have liked.
There's one uncle. Both
haven't
of
seen
my
her
parents,
in months.
both of my parents, just like you, have big families, and they're both very dramatic. Both have the reasons why I'm so fucked up. There's mental illness on both sides. My dad's side of the family is more, for lack of a better word, inbred, because his parents were cousins.
Hey, oh, no. Baby, I'm just a little inbred. No big deal. 98% Persian.
And like three of his siblings married cousins. So it's like, it's just like they see it as very normal. It's a very normal
they don't care
thing.
At all.
Okay. Versus my mom's family, not that normal. Yeah, but it's like a cultural thing.
Yeah, I don't want to. That's why I was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything.
Like it a lot. I just obviously I think it's wrong.
And
but
you
it's
can
hard
openly
to say
dislike
that.
It. I'm just gonna.
You're gonna get canceled
take in
for
what I'm
she's
hearing.
Nodding. She's nodding.
No, look, we've explored this a lot on this show, where you're just like, oh, you guys are just going to be like, you're just going to openly fuck and then have kids and then act as if we're weird for having mental illness. Okay, thank you.
But even if they did acknowledge, this person is suffering, there's not even a comprehensive way to treat any kind of mental health issue in the Middle East. Like, it's so pathetic and really sad, because a lot of my family suffers with a lot of different things. And a lot of them are still in the Middle East, and they either dismiss it, they're treated as crazy. It's sad.
I will say, I did find a New York Times article from like 2003 that was like, guys, you can marry your cousin. It's not that big a deal. And I was like,
I remember
thank
that
you.
Article. And people are like, no. Yeah, just because really we like, can doesn't mean we should.
But you know the ones that have some families like that were like, see, this is okay, children.
Yeah, and they can use that if they need to. I will not be. But my mom and dad, so my dad is older than my mom by around 10 years. And I say this because my dad is also the youngest of his siblings by a significant amount. He has one sibling that's a year older than him. And then the other two were like 18 and 20 years older than him. And so they started having kids much earlier, obviously. And so all of my cousins on my dad's side could be my parents. That's how old they are.
That's how my dad's the same way. He's the second to youngest out of nine.
I got like 58-year-old men that I'm like, cousin!
Exactly!
Yes, exactly that.
Yeah.
The second, or like their children's children are my age.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, that's it. And so on my mom's side, I have like, I'm the fourth out of 10 cousins, right? And so, and my mom's family is so mentally ill, just mentally ill in a chaotic way, to the point where like finally my grandfather went to a therapist last year, because we're going through stuff. My grandmother has dementia, and it really tore through our family. But he went to like 3 sessions, and then he stopped going, and I was like, why'd you stop going? And he said, she said there was nothing wrong with me. And I was like, there is so much deeply wrong with you. I love you, but please, is no one going to help this family? My mom's family is like extremely narcissistic, to the point where when I was like 19 and we were going to visit them for Christmas, I broke out in stress hives all over my body because so nervous to be with them.
Yeah.
And my dad's family is like overly altruistic. And any mental illness that has existed there is just like because of circumstances and environment, not because it's so deeply ingrained in the family. Mm-hmm. And an example is like we drive to Michigan every year. And so one year there was a huge blizzard, and we told my dad's family like, hey, we can't come up this year. We're so sorry. The roads are really horrible. And they were like, that's fine. We just care about your safety. We're going to miss you. We only get to see you once a year, but it's going to be okay. We understand. Tell my mom's family, who, by the way, we see several times a year. And they were like, why would you do this to us?
Wow.
How could you? Why would you hurt us this way? How dare you? I just can't believe you're not coming up. No, it's fine. You just want to ruin our Christmas, I guess. No, it's fine. I'll be really upset. Yeah. So that's the
that's
the vibes we're working with.
That's like my dad's side. Where you're like, I don't understand what the big deal is. But like, it's funny when I'm there and I go to Iran, they're like, you are so well adjusted. And I'm like, no, I just did therapy. Like, that's all it was. Like, I just like literally unpacked all my issues with a person who I paid to like, just tell me what's going on. I've spent like months there, and I do actually like hit like that point where I'm like, I am these people are not different from me at all. Like, I'm about to implode on someone for like taking my plate away too quick. Like,
oh, I just feel like, you. Yeah, I'm like, I'm mentally ill too. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
But like, I've just taken the steps to like take care of myself. But it is because I live in America and I, you know, my parents did well for themselves. So I come from privilege. But like, you go to Iran and like, I get in trouble a lot for talking shit about my cousins, but it's not that I'm talking shit about them. It's more that my parents are the only two people from their parent from their families that came to America. So I have no cousins in America. I have no family, no blood family in America. I have a lot of, you know, like family friends who are like my family, but like these cousins, like, and both my parents come from like well-to-do families in Iran. So like, when I go there and I see the way these kids act, even I'm like, you haven't been smacked enough. Like, I don't know what you're doing. But like, I have cousins who straight up like were like, I have one specifically who just was like, he went to school somewhere. He went and got a degree like abroad. I'm not gonna give too many details because he knows I've been talking shit about him and I'm trying to visit him.
I know this person.
So he went abroad, got a degree, came back and was like, I want a different degree and I want to go to Australia. And so his dad, who's like this loaded doctor, his mom is my cousin. So his dad's this like loaded doctor and they're divorced now. Mm-hmm. So I this guy, Jesus Christ, he's got like a young wife with a new baby. So he was like, whatever my boy wants, he gets. So now he lives in Australia. I don't think he got that second degree. I don't necessarily think he's using the first degree he got. And he just does whatever the fuck he wants. And then he like, because Iran's all sanctioned as hell, they have to give the money to my dad. Then my dad has to send the money to Australia. And I'm like, I'm sorry, they're just giving him money? Versus if I ask my dad for 10 bucks, he's like, you don't understand the value of a dollar and you are ruining this family. And I'm like, what the fuck did I miss out on? Like, could I have just been a spoiled Persian princess versus my parents raising me in America and being like, you need to get a job? Like, I feel like I could have easily, like, been the queen of Tehran or something.
You would not have been as funny, though.
No, I would be a huge
You wouldn't be
bitch.
A funny girl.
I would have been a huge bitch. But I also probably would have been married off by now because one of my family members, my cousin, who's actually really chill, she always tells me, oh, you're a Hosnia? You would have been long married off. And I'm like, thank you. Okay, that's really creepy to think that my last name is like, they're like, cha-ching, let's see what her dowry looks like. Okay.
Right.
But like, that's like, I think like you guys, while it's tough to live in a country like Iran, like the way they like treat their kids, because they haven't had to leave the country and truly like learn a different language and experience the struggle and racism of America, they like are cool with their kids. And then also the kids like throw straight up tantrums. And I'm like, you can't say that to your parent. You can't do any of that. And they get away with it. And I am like shook. And then everyone's like, you are so well adjusted. And I'm like, no, I have like trauma and like I have experienced things. Like, what do you, I'm not well adjusted
exactly
at all.
That.
I just know I can't call my mom like a bitch in front of the whole family like that.
Literally when I was a kid, I could not watch TV shows where children were doing shit like that or when a parent was incompetent. Like I was telling someone the other day that I didn't like watching The Simpsons because it made me so uncomfortable how dumb Homer was. When I was a kid.
It's
and
true.
People were like, oh, that's so funny. And I'm like, no, I was a traumatized child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you don't really.
You don't act
very
like that.
Very traumatized.
I mean, I think it's just this family is like very well off and privileged. And so they can act like that. But it's still shocking to me because my parents did well here too. But like, I can't do 99% of the things I've seen happen in Iran.
Well, you had to face a lot more.
Yeah. I think it boils down to a difference of like parenting, to be honest.
It's true. I when I go to Iran, I always learn the one thing, which is my dad's the meanest. And I'm like, oh, cool. Out of all, I got the
Wait,
mean one.
So in your respective families, how do your parents rank? So your dad's the, my mom is the one out of her, there are five children. She's the one who does everything, but will never get like, she's like Kendall in succession. Why can't I say the word?
Yeah.
But she's exactly like Kendall, you know, like waiting for daddy's kiss, daddy's approval.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're so great. Why don't, why do you fixate on this?
Yeah.
And then my dad is like, you know, the youngest baby child, but your dad's the meanest.
My dad is the youngest as well, but my uncle, who before he passed, low-key pulled me aside and gave me all the tea. That's how I found out. He literally like pulled me into a dark corner, was like, "I'll tell you everything." And I was like, "Thank you." And literally I cried after. I was like, "Someone's telling me the truth." But God rest his soul, he was the best. He said because my dad was really young when his parents died, two of his sisters died, the one who committed suicide and one who also got mysteriously sick, hard to say what happened. And then so there were two more sisters left and then two sons, which were my uncle and my dad. And so he told me basically because his parents died young, he felt like he had to be the man of the house. And like my uncle, who was like the real man of the house, was like, "Sure, I'll let him whatever think he's the man of the house," which he then was like, which was a bad idea because it hardened him and he became very mean and like hard and aggressive and like everything had to be exactly the way it was and there's rules. And I was like, "That's my dad." And then my mom is the oldest out of all the kids. So everyone like really respects her. So she's very quiet. She does not say, she only speaks when she has something to say. She'll never small talk with you. She has no interest in small talking. And she's very stoic and she's just like kind and like was everyone's other like second mother, basically. Like she raised everyone. So I think by the time she got to us, she was low key like, "I've already raised a family." Like, oh my God. Cause she's very nice and sweet. But she doesn't say a lot and she doesn't like, she's not super emotive in any way. She's just like, she did her job and she's just pleasant. That's all she is. She's just the most pleasant human being you'll ever meet. And then that was like her as like the oldest kid because everything kind of fell on her and she had to. And my grandpa, her dad, many wives, had multiple wives at one point, like in Iran. So I think she also, one of the big reasons she left Iran was because she was just trying to be like, "Okay, I'm out. I did enough. I'm out of here.
I had to do." Yeah. Yeah.
So I think she's just happy to like not have responsibility outside her own family. And it's just like, "I'm doing my thing. I'm not bothering anyone. No one's bothering me. And that's that. Mm-hmm. And I'll be nice to everyone." And that's like her. That's where she is.
That makes sense.
Please, Shireen, your turn.
My dad is the second to youngest out of a lot of kids. I always confuse which parent has 8 or 9, but one of my parents is 9. One of my parents is 8. There have been some deaths, so I get confused. But my dad is the second to youngest. He grew up pretty poor in Syria. And so a lot of his like older brothers had already like were in college when he was a kid kind of thing, you know, so they would help with money and all that stuff. And he was someone that worked immediately as soon as he could because he wanted to help out. And his dad died when my dad was 17. And so the mom, my grandma, was like matriarch for them. Like respect is a huge thing in my dad's family because they were raised with this really, they loved their mom so much. And so my dad is very big on respect. Influence is why he's kind of strict with his kids and why even like a curse word or like a slight of your eye will set him off, like anything, even if it's not directed at him. Inversely, he's very kind and very generous because he wasn't raised with a lot. So as soon as he gets something, he wants to like give back. And then my mom is the third oldest, but she's the oldest daughter. So she ended up raising a lot of the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a really amazing mom. I think she's one of those people that was meant to be a mom. And it makes sense because she was already kind of like maternal. But her household was pretty abusive. And so when you see it now in retrospect, some of my family members on that side were also abusive to their kids. But for my mom, it was the complete opposite. Like she was just like, "I will never be this way to my children." So she's like very kind and empathetic and like similar to me, like can cry pretty easily. I think it's just interesting to see how it played out the way it did and how certain people are affected in certain ways. And so that's my mom and that's my dad. A little bit more strange, I guess, than the average story, but it is what it is. And my mom came from a more like country place and my dad is like a city person. And so there's just like kind of a difference there. But anyways, that's the fam. But I do like that kind of conversation, like what's your parent like on the in the hierarchy or like yeah. this or whatever. And yeah, and my mom is very respected.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
because I imagine being the oldest daughter would had to step up to the plate much sooner. But mm-hmm. it's interesting to you mentioned that your dad was a city guy and your mom was a country girl.
Yeah, well, that's my mom was a city girl. My dad was a stupid country boy.
Yeah. See, my dad was raised on the east side of Detroit. His family was very poor. And then my mom's family was solidly middle class. Like, my mm-hmm. grandfather worked for the Coca-Cola company as an executive. Like, they were fine. But my dad's family, like, my grandmother only went to school up until third grade, was pretty mm-hmm. much illiterate. And my grandfather was also pretty illiterate because he left school early and was on top of that an alcoholic. And mm-hmm. so just like really horrible environment. But my grandmother was very kind and warm and wonderful and great. But yeah, I imagine two people coming from such different walks of life. And I'm like, I don't understand how this worked because they're truly each other's opposite. But
mm-hmm. I feel the same about my parents sometimes.
Oh, yeah. My parents, I am always like, do you guys like, are you guys friends? Like, were you guys friends before you decided to get married? Because my mom is like also a devout Muslim who like prays, mm-hmm. like has Quran study with her girls over like Google chat, like that, like just like so, you know, deeply ingrained in her like, you know, experience with Islam. And my dad is like secular and like a trash boy in a way, just drinks
trash
all day.
Boy.
Like, no, my dad, like, he's like very strict, or he was. His testosterone has gone down a lot. So now he's like really just like, he's chilling and he's retired and he just drinks with his boys all day. Like, literally, like him and his best friend that he's had since college, this other Persian guy who like he happened to meet in America, but they're like from the same town. And like, all he does is like drink wine all day with his boys. They just play backgammon and then they get really drunk and then they just dance to Persian music for like hours. And that's
thriving.
All he does. And my mom is the absolute opposite. She's a Muslim woman. She doesn't drink. She doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. She barely wants to go out to like a party or anything like that. And I'm like, how do you guys, like, what do you guys talk about? That's like weird to me. I'm like, when you do talk, what is it about? Because it feels like dad's just like drunkenly mumbling about random shit. And my mom is just being like, God is watching. And like, I don't know what. Because my dad's secular. He doesn't even like religion. You can't talk to him about it. So I don't know, like, what do they talk about, man? After all these years?
They say like opposites attract, but I don't know if that's true. I think like when it's that different, it's so
no, that's bullshit. Like, it's
I mean, like, I just think like I always think my parents aren't the most compatible for kind of the same reasons. Like, my dad never wants to leave. My mom is very adventurous, very just like nature, all that stuff. And my dad is just like, I want to sit on the couch and watch basketball. That's like, it's just like their personalities.
Have you ever tried to eavesdrop on their conversations to be like, what do you guys talk about? Because I try.
I mean, I do. It doesn't work well. And it makes me sad because my mom is very independent and my dad is very needy. And so a lot of the conversations are just like about either mundane shit or like, I don't know, just telling each other what to do. Like, I don't know. Like,
oh, no.
That's true. I guess my dad would probably get canceled if anyone saw what he was doing. Because he 90% of the time is just like on his iPad and he's like scrolling. And they're like, look at this video. This woman has huge boobies. And you're like, fool, like, what are you doing? He's like, it's funny. They're bouncing up and down. And you're like, that's your humor? Like, oh, you're just like some, like, you're, what are you doing? And he's like, it's funny. Then he's like, look, these cats are shaking hands. Like, that's what my, I feel like, and I can't imagine my dad being like, hey, check this out, to my mom, because my mom's probably like, what are you doing? So, like, I don't get it. Like, what are they talking about, man? I need to, I'm going home tomorrow. I'm going to try. I'll report back.
Oh, hell yeah.
It never works.
I'll report back.
I think bouncing boobies is a
big
great way to wrap
the
up
show,
the show.
Yeah.
Me too.
I will truly forward you guys some of the videos my dad will send me on WhatsApp.
Okay, great.
Where I'm like,
WhatsApp is so lawless.
It really is. And when you give it to like an old Persian man who's got nothing going on but like a glass of wine, oh my God, it's a mess.
I love that he's made you his like go-to
he sends
person
it to
for
all
these
the,
texts.
All the fam- he'll send it to everyone and he thinks it's so funny. Be like, my friend sent me this. Or he'll like find it on his weird Persian blogs where they have just like silly videos.
It's always like a family WhatsApp, and then there's like a family friends WhatsApp. My mom is a part of both, obviously, but it's chaotic in there.
Dude, the video, they'll be like, look at this dog. It went to a store and bought a fish.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, and it's like, it's like a 4-minute video. What? And I'm just like, I don't want to watch this right now. Like, is it 15 like, no, seconds? No, see, I'm in,
the dog, it actually sells stuff. It makes money, and then it uses that money to go to the store and buy things, and then it feeds itself, and then it starts all over again. And you're like, what are... Who? What is this content?
Yeah.
It's like very foreign bizarre content that they find somehow. And it's all like subtitled and like to weird music. And you're like, only like weird immigrant parent, like, you know, group chats get these. And you're like,
I don't
like,
know how they
cool.
find it. I really don't know. I don't know where. That's a very good point. Like WhatsApp content is weird, strange.
Like you don't see this stuff on Instagram, like at all. They're finding this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, let's wrap it up here. Sydney, thank you for being so patient with your time and being so giving with your time, being so patient with us. Thank you for being on our show. It was very fun to get to know you and to talk to you. You got to come back and talk to us again.
Yeah, please invite me back. That'd be fun.
I'm going to start sending you guys like weird videos that my dad sends me. So
I can't wait.
Can't wait.
Please don't cancel me.
But thank you again. You are a delight. Tell our listeners where they can find you on the internet if they don't already know.
I'm on Twitter at Sydney Battle, and then I'm on Instagram at Sid Battle. So
go
you can
follow
see
her.
Stuff there. If I'm ever doing something, it's probably posted there.
Yeah, you got to follow her before she goes viral again, so you can be like, I followed her before, you know? Yeah. So just do it, everyone.
Yeah.
Wait, I just really quickly want to show you guys a video my dad sent me. I just went into the folder. And so this is a dog who's also a nurse. So he takes care of his, oh, it's blurry. Okay, I'll send this to you guys. But basically he's taking care of his owner who's in a wheelchair. So this is the kind of content, like, he's like taking the socks off, making sure the owner is comfortable in his bed while they go to bed. You know, like
my
nurse
mom would
dogs.
Eat this up.
Nurse
when you
dogs.
Send it to me, I'm gonna forward it to my mom. My mom will eat it up. So, yeah, thank
nurse
you.
Dog. That's the content my dad enjoys.
Nurse dog. Okay, okay. Goodbye, everyone. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. Ethnically Amb, AMB on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, AMBIG on Instagram. I'm Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Nurse Dog. I'm just joking. I'm at Anna Hosni on Twitter. I did find another video where dogs are helping chickens sit on their backs so they can steal human food. So that is another one from my father. So keep an eye on that. Animals are working for us and against us. All right, that's that.
Until next time, follow Sid. Watch her Brooklyn Mom video. It's very funny. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.